Good morning, Scott.
Great to be here, Liz.
And you'll have to excuse me, I'm battling a cold today, but we're headed for a replay of the 2014 race for governor between Republican Alan Fung and Democratic incumbent Gina Raimondo. Both of them decisively won their primaries last night. What are we to look for this time? What will be different from the last time these two candidates faced each other?
Well, you know, we have a Back to the Future contest, as you just referenced. The interesting thing here is there is still, as there was back in 2014, a third-party candidate, Joe Trillo, former Republican, running it as an independent.
And many people think that could be bad for Alan Fung.
I would think so. I would think that votes for Trillo, because, again, he's a conservative, best known in the state probably now as Donald Trump's campaign chairman last time, will drain votes that would normally go to a Republican off on Fung. He has a personal dislike for Fung. They do not get along at all. He has put up a YouTube spot trying to make himself into a less bombastic fellow. He shows him playing with his dogs, playing the piano, trying to soften his image. So I think anything he gets above 6 or 8 points really cuts into Alan Fung and is going to hurt him a lot.
So what does Alan Fung then need to do this time around to try to get a different outcome from the last time he faced Governor Gina Raimondo?
I think you're going to see Alan Fung stick with a traditional Rhode Island moderate Republican platform. If he has a model, it should be someone like Charlie Baker, the very moderate Republican governor of Massachusetts, who doesn't engage in the Trump style of, you know, going after people, fighting with people, making these big kinds of claims. So I think you're going to see that on Raimondo's side. Already election night, we're seeing her trying to define Fung as someone who's too far out of the mainstream, someone who'll jeopardize things like health care. I expect in this year, in blue states, you're going to see every Democratic candidate try to link Republicans with the president, because he's very unpopular in Rhode Island. The last numbers I saw, I think only 18% of Rhode Island women in a poll supported the president.
Okay, Scott, let's talk for just a moment about what seems to have been the closest statewide race of primary day, and that is the contest between Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee and Providence State Representative Aaron Regenberg. McKee eked out a very narrow victory here. What was the dynamic there?
The dynamic was that McKee really rode his strength in the Blackstone Valley among establishment Democrats. He was the endorsed candidate. Regenberg, I think, deserves a lot of credit for putting together a very credible campaign. In the end, he came very close, but couldn't quite do it. I think there were two things that you point to. One is that he didn't do as well in Providence as he needed to do. He won the city, but only by 1,000 or so votes. And that was his home base, again, where he's been a state rep. The other problem Regenberg has is just that he's 28 years old, he's not that well known, and even some liberal folks that I talked to were concerned that he really hadn't had a real job. And McKee played on this, saying, do you want somebody who's this green to be a heartbeat away from the governor?
Progressives, though, and a lot of labor organizers had big hopes for Regenberg.
And I think he did about as well as he could, given the other problems that he faced, and that he's a first-time candidate. And he just wasn't that well-known statewide outside of the state house and the progressive circles.
First-time candidate for statewide office, because he
correct.
Is a state rep already. Scott, there was a lot of talk about progressives on the Democratic side. Matt Brown, though, lost his primary against the governor. And we, as we just talked about, State Rep Aaron Regenberg lost his challenge to Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee. But progressives did have some big victories in the General Assembly.
Yeah, this was a night that gave House Speaker Nick Mattiello some heartburn. Of course, he has his own tough race coming up in November against Republican Steve Frias, another rematch from 2 years ago. But if you look around the state who Mattiello was against, Representative Maura Walsh in House District 3 in Providence, Mount Pleasant, who famously said that there was too much drinking at the state house, and the Mattiello folks recruited a fellow named Michael Earnhardt to go campaign against her, and he was a former Trump supporter, and he lost. She won pretty comfortably. Another one was Representative Marsha Ranglin Vassell from a neighborhood in Elmhurst in Mount Pleasant. And she cruised over a candidate people thought would be tough. Another woman candidate, Holly Taylor Kuhlman, a Providence College theology professor and an anti-abortion activist, down in Bristol and Barrington. Both of those areas, progressives won. On Providence's east side, Rebecca Kislak just really cleaned house up there in Regensburg's former district. And also in Barrington and East Providence Riverside neighborhood, you have John Chung, a law professor at Roger Williams University. He lost to progressive Leanna Kassar. In Senate races, also there were some big wins by progressive. Sam Bell, the progressive activist, defeated incumbent Paul Javor, who'd been there for more than two decades. So we're really seeing around the state is where progressives on the Democratic side flex their muscles.
And how will this affect, Scott McKay, in your view, the General Assembly session that begins in January?
Well, this is going to be very interesting. I think you're going to see some of these new progressives, along with members who are already there, like David Bennett from Warwick, Edie Ajello, Jason Knight from Barrington, the folks that are progressives now, with these new folks coming in, I think it's going to be very hard for the leadership to put the cork in the bottle on such issues as a codifying abortion rights should the Supreme Court overturn Roe v. Wade. I think you're probably going to see some push on low-income issues. I think perhaps raising the minimum wage. We're almost a dollar below Massachusetts now. The earned income tax credit, we're way behind some other New England states. I think you're going to see more of that. And, you know, the business community may not be real happy with some of this stuff, but the labor liberals in the House side certainly have much more clout this morning than they had 2 days ago.
And will any of these candidates face challenges in the general election that they may have to work to fight off?
A few of them do, but, you know, in the urban areas in this state, winning the Democratic primary is pretty much tantamount to victory. So I'm not so sure that that's going to happen.
Well, Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay, thanks for giving us your take on Rhode Island's primary results. And we should say that these results are still not certified, but they will be soon.
Thank you very much, Liz. Great to be here.
And I'm Elizabeth Harrison. This is Rhode Island Public Radio.